Our reading today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Let us listen for the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Let's take a moment to pray for each other. Take a glance at the person sitting to your left and a glance at the person sitting to your right, and then let us bow our heads. Pray silently for a moment for the person sitting on your left, that some music they hear this morning, some touch of another's hand, some words spoken may speak to the struggle and the possibilities of their life today. And take a moment to pray for the person on your right, that whatever they face in their life, that God might be present with them through that journey today. And pray for yourself, that you may be open to what God would speak into your life during this time of worship. Amen. So we're thinking and talking about Mary today. And since I've never personally had the experience of being pregnant and giving birth, we've invited Erin Meehan Richmond, who has had that experience not too long ago, if she'd come and share with us. Erin, there you are. Come on up front. Erin, you have a let me give you a mic. You have two children, Jonah and Jacob. Jonah is how old?
He is six.
Jonah is six, and Jacob is?
7 months.
7 months. So not long ago, you were pregnant and gave birth. What was it like? What do you remember most about it?
As far as like the actual event of giving birth, I would say I remember being hit both times I gave birth with waves of emotion that were very similar. I think the first one was just relief, right, that it was over. We had opted for natural childbirth, so, you know, it's very painful. And to know, and the pain ends pretty abruptly once it's over. And I think just next was gratitude that that we had made it through it, and that we, my husband and I, had just received such a gift. And lastly, really curiosity, right? I mean, you've had this thing inside you for 9+ months, and you feel like you've gotten to know this baby just through his movements, but suddenly he's there, and you just have so much more information. So I just remember wanting to look over every inch and really not wanting to take my eyes off them.
Wow. So was there ever any times along the way of the pregnancy when it was scary?
Yes. I think, you know, my both my pregnancies were so far apart that with Jonah, my firstborn, I remember there wasn't that much fear, right? I mean, it was a very easy pregnancy. I just felt like really we encountered no problems. And, you know, our society is so lovely with pregnant women. What stands out to me is that it was so nice to be the recipient of all of that goodwill. 6 years later, there was still that goodwill, but I think I was older and had had friends who had pregnancies that didn't go so smoothly, and I think I was holding my breath a little bit more throughout that entire pregnancy. And I also had the misfortune of breaking my foot at 32 weeks, so I spent my last trimester in crutches and in a boot, and really it was a struggle to get to the end of that.
So you talked about relief, and you talked about curiosity. So tell us more about how it felt when you saw your babies and held them for the first time.
I mean, it's hard to describe. I think what stands out in my mind most is when my second child was born. I think somewhere deep in my mind, I felt like I was going to get a carbon copy of my first. And so when he was put on my chest, I remember just being floored at how different he looked. Like, his size was different, his face was different, and it really hit me at a very core level that this was a whole new kid I had, right? And I better get ready for this.
So we've been talking, as we've been looking at the Christmas stories about joy. Out of the experience of being pregnant and giving birth, did you learn anything about joy?
Absolutely. You know, I think, again, having the experience of going through it twice, I think for me, I learned that really through struggle can come even greater amounts of joy.
Anything else that you learned that you'd really like to share with a congregation of people that are listening intently to your experience?
You know, I think just becoming a parent, no matter how it happens, is such a blessing. And for me, my two kids are my greatest source of joy on a daily basis. And I think spending the last couple days really thinking about this, knowing we were going to have this conversation, makes me want to offer up an extra prayer to the parents up in Connecticut to think that, you know, that they have lost joy. Is hard for me to imagine.
Thank you. Let's have Dad stand up. Dad, would you stand up too? And let's express our appreciation to this family and to Aaron for sharing with us. Thank you so much. So, we want to think about Mary this morning. Mary learning that she would become pregnant, Mary learning that she would give birth, and what out of this experience of Mary that we might learn about joy. I began Advent this year with, frankly, a selfish motive. Joy is mentioned so often in the stories about Jesus' birth. Zechariah receives from the angel a message of joy. John the Baptist leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb. The Magi who follow the star when the star stops over the town of Bethlehem, the Gospel of Matthew said that they were overwhelmed by joy. The angels bring the shepherds in the fields good news of great joy. And my goal this Advent has been to learn more about joy, to try to figure out how to have more joy in my life. Less worry, less anxiety, less boredom, more laughter, more happiness, more joy. I want to have more joy in my life. I want more joy in my family. I want more joy here at Foundry Church. And so this morning we are looking at the story of Mary, receiving the news that she will give birth to Jesus, and her response to the angel Gabriel, when she says, "Here am I, let it be with me according to your word. And we're looking at it to see if there is something in this story that can help us understand how to have more joy in our life. And I have sort of three ideas that I'm going to try to quickly introduce this morning about Mary, about motherhood, and about joy. The first idea is this, is that pregnancy and birth are a central metaphor of the Christian faith. Scriptures teach that God is always trying to be born into the world. That ideas want to become flesh. That feelings want to take on bodies and become active and engaged in the world. God is always trying to be born into the world. And in fact, God is going to be born into the world, whether we like it or not. We have the option of either allowing God to be born into the world through us or in spite of us. And most of us, most of the time, it's both. God being born into the world through us and God being born into the world in spite of our resistance to what God is trying to do in the world. The joy comes when we are able to open our hearts and minds and spirit and to welcome God being born into the world through us. The joy comes when we can say yes, when we can say, here am I, let your word be active and come to take on flesh through me. I've been reading as part of my Advent exercises the writings of Professor Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, who is the father of positive psychology. And he began his studies on happiness by studying composers. The first group of people he talked to and interviewed were composers. And in his study of composers, he discovered that the experience of composing for many composers was that the music wanted to be born through them. That they worked at trying to hear the music and to put the music on paper, but they reached a point of joy when the music took over and wanted to be born through them. One composer told Professor Csikszentmihalyi, he said that it reaches a point where you feel as though you don't exist and all that exists is the music. My hand seems devoid of myself and I have nothing to do with what is happening. I just sit there watching in a state of awe and wonderment. The joy comes when the composer is able to say to the music, here am I. Let it be with me according to your word. Whenever God wants to be born into the world, God comes into the world through us or in spite of us. And the joy is when we are able to surrender ourselves to what God is trying to do in God's birth into the world. I believe that movements in human history are times when God is being born into the world either through us or in spite of us or both. There are no books in my office shelf that I go back to reread portions of more often than Taylor Branch's three-volume history of the Civil Rights Movement. And the volume that fascinates me the most, that I reread from again and again, is the first volume called Parting the Waters, America in the King Years. I've become convinced that the civil rights movement was going to be born. The civil rights movement was going to happen. The civil rights movement was a vision of freedom, an idea, a feeling that was determined to take on flesh and dwell among us. Whether through us or in spite of us or both. It was really only a minority of the church, and I'm talking about both the primarily white church and the primarily African-American church, it was really only a minority of the church that chose to let the civil rights movement be born through them. They paid a price. They experienced struggle. But they also knew the joy. Something of God wants to be born into the world through your life and mine. You are Mary. I am Mary. We together are Mary. Something of God wants to be born into the world through us, in spite of us. And our spiritual life is a life of continually attempting to open ourselves to the Word of God that is longing to be born into the world. Our spiritual life is a constant struggle to ask the question internally in the depth of our being, will we fight the movement of God in the world? Will we try to close ourselves to it? Or will we allow the movement of God to be born through us? I don't know how God is wanting to be born into the world through your life. It may be a new truth trying to come into your awareness. It may be creativity trying to come out of you. It may be a movement in the world wanting you to be a part of it, to give yourself to it. Perhaps you spend your life up till now mostly thinking, and love is trying to be born into your life. Perhaps you've spent your life mostly feeling and thinking wants to be born into your life. It may be peace wanting to be born in you and through you. But I'm convinced God wants to be born into the world through us. This is the Christian doctrine of incarnation. Us becoming pregnant by God so that something of God, something godly, may be born into the world through us. And we can fight it, or we can say, let it be. When God is being born into the world through us, we need to both struggle and at the same time give up control and let it happen. You can't control a birth. You can resist it or fight it, or you can go with it. The birth is going to happen one way or another. We cannot control the movement of God's Spirit. We can only open our hearts, and that's where the joy is. That's where the struggle and the joy is. Now, the second thing I want to say about Mary really isn't in the lesson we heard today, but it keeps bumping into my brain, and so I'm going to share it. In order for God to be born into the world through her and to experience the joy of it, Mary had to choose God over Joseph. Mary had to choose God over Joseph. Mary had to choose God over other people. Last week we were going to talk about Joseph, and we never quite got the chance. You know that when Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant, Joseph wanted to have her put away quietly, which is what was done with pregnant women who were not married. They were hidden away, and perhaps later in life they would be able to come back, but they were an embarrassment and a shame. It wasn't much different, actually. Not so long ago, in our society, in our country, I grew up in a family where I had 14 aunts and uncles. Only I didn't know how many of them were biologically my aunts and uncles, because my grandmother, Grandmother Snyder, was the one in the Snyder clan who, when any teenage girl became pregnant, Grandmother Snyder took the baby and raised the baby along with her own, and none of us ever knew which ones were biologically her children or which ones were really our cousins or our second cousins. Because Otherwise, the teenage girls would live a life of shame and embarrassment. And that's what would have happened to Mary. Mary could have easily chosen to say no to the invitation of the angel for God to be born through her, because in accepting the offer of the angel Gabriel, Mary was condemning herself to the disapproval of Joseph and the disapproval of others. The greatest joy killer, I'm convinced, in our lives is needing the approval of others more than the favor of God. Needing more to be popular with human beings than to be faithful to God's promise. When God is trying to be born into the world through us, it will almost always bring us into the experience of disfavor and disapproval of others. I'm not saying that we shouldn't listen to the advice of others. I'm not saying we shouldn't listen to the criticism of others and evaluate it and take it seriously. I'm not saying we shouldn't accept the advice or guidance of others. I am saying that if we are more afraid of the disapproval of others than we are the disapproval of God, it will be hard to experience the joy of God being born into the world through us. Mary was a brave and courageous carrier of God into the world. She is a role model for all of us who want to serve God more than anything else in our lives, who want God to be born into the world through us. And the third thing, last thing I want to say, and Aaron reminded us of this, joy is always mixed with pain. There's no path to joy that does not include struggle. There is no resurrection without a cross. There is no glory without a cross. I've been thinking about the death of Adele Hutchins this week. Adele was a core and central member of this church for many, many years. Adele was the person who, when we had a problem here, and I tried everything that I could possibly think of to fix the problem, and it wouldn't get fixed, Adele was the one I would call and say, "Adele, it's come to this. I need you to pray about this." And she would pray us through a lot of problems. For 25 years, I don't necessarily do it every time anymore, but for 25 years, I never led a funeral service without reading from the 8th chapter of Romans, where the Apostle Paul writes about struggle. "What then can we say to this?" he says. "If Christ is for us, who can be against us? The one who did not give up his own son, but gave him up for us all. What can separate us from the love of God?" So I was reading from the 8th chapter of Romans this week, and I began reading what the Apostle Paul wrote before that great affirmation about suffering. And this is what he said in Romans 8. He said, "I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us." And then he said, "We know that up till now, the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains." He said, all of creation is pregnant. And the pain and the struggle that we experience in life is only in anticipation of the great joy of when the birth comes. And we can hold what is being born into the world through us on our chest and examine every inch of its beautiful body. Joy is always mixed with pain. Joy always includes struggle. But the end of the story after the struggle is always the joy. And if we can just trust that what God has in store for us is great joy, then we can endure the labor pains until the joy comes.